Well, that was all he knew. God help him, he believed the newspapers and my huge overblown reputation. He thought I was the daredevil Flash Harry of Popular Report, the hero of Jalalabad and all that tommy rot. And there was no hope that I could persuade him otherwise. But my God, says I, appalled, what you're proposing is that I should go to Strachan's and marry this damn woman. I mean, I'm married already. You are Protestants. This will be a Roman ceremony. It will be in no way binding on you morally or in fact. Who cares about that? What I mean is, I'd have to live with her as king of Strachan's or whatever it is. How could I? What about the real Prince Karl? He will be kept close under lock and key in a convenient place in Mecklenburg. He will there recover from his illness, and in due course I will explain matters to him, the full truth. I will point out to him that he has no choice but to continue with the remainder of my plan.
And what's that, in God's name?
When he has recovered, in perhaps a month or two after your marriage, you will go hunting from a certain lodge. You will become separated from your companions. They will find you eventually, or rather they will find the real prince. He will have fallen from his horse and taken a slight graze on the head. It will necessitate some days' rest and recovery. Thereafter he will return to Strachan's city and his bride. If she notices any difference in him, it will be attributed to the effect of his head wound. But it will hardly cause her to suspect that he is not the man she married. I expect that they will live and rule long and happily together.
And what the hell happens to me?
You, my dear sir, will by then be far over the frontiers of Germany with £10,000 sterling in your pocket. Bismarck permitted himself a smile. We do not ask you to work for nothing, you see. Your silence will be assured, for if you decided to tell your incredible tale, who would believe it? But why should you? You will have come out of this affair most profitably. Aye, profitably for you, thinks I, with a bullet in the back of my head or a knife between my ribs. It was as clear as day that at the end of the affair I'd be a heap safer dead than alive, from their point of view. I looked from Bismarck to the cheerfully smiling Rudy, who had perched himself on the table edge, to Kraftstein frowning at me from his massive height, to de Gauté with his snake's eyes. I even glanced round at Bersonin, glowering in silence by the door. By gum, I've seen some pretty sets of villains in my time, but I believe that if I were ever asked to recruit a band of cutthroats for some nefarious enterprise, Bismarck's beauties would head my list.
I see what is in your mind, says Bismarck.
He rose, taking out his cigar case, and presented me with a weed which he lit for me from a candle.
You do not trust me. You believe that afterwards I should have you destroyed, nicht wahr? That I would break my promise?
Oh, well, says I, the thought hadn't occurred, but now that you mention it, my dear Mr. Flashman, says he, credit me with some intelligence. I have only to put myself in your shoes, as I'm sure you have just been putting yourself in mine. I should be highly suspicious if I were you. I should require to be convinced that all was above board, is it not? I said nothing, and he took a turn round the table.
Ask yourself, says he, what I have to gain by playing you false. Security? Hardly so, since you will be in no case living to do harm to us. As I've said, no one will believe your story, which indeed would incriminate you if you are foolish enough to tell it. What else? Killing you would present problems. You are not a child, and disposing of you might well cause some unforeseen complications in my plan.
We are honest with you, you see, says Rudy,
and Kraftstein nodded vigorously. De Gauté tried to smile reassuringly, like a contrite wolf.
And £10,000, you may believe me, is neither here nor there.
went on Bismarck. It is a cheap price to pay for laying the foundation of the new Germany. And that is what is at stake here. You may think we are daydreaming, that we are foolish visionaries. You may even think us villains. I do not care. It does not matter. It is a great thing that we are going to do, and you are only a tiny pawn in it. But like all tiny pawns, vital. I need you, and I am willing to pay for what I need. He drew himself up, virile, commanding, and full of mastery. You seek guarantees of my good faith. I have tried to show you that it is in my interest and Germany's to keep faith. To this I add my word as a Junker, a soldier, and a gentleman. I swear on my honor that what I have promised I shall fulfill, and that when you have concluded your part in this scheme, you shall have safe conduct out of Germany with your reward, and that no harm shall come to you.